it's strange how a little bit what we're touching here can be construed as in Yoni de Yoimo. What do I mean? The piece that we've been in the middle of actually is the reasons for Tovas Hokel al Horosho. Why is it that sometimes Hashem seems to be doing good for the Rosha? Some sort of phenomenon that we see many times, and we've, people wonder about it. Madua derech shoyim tzlecho and so forth. But I just thought, in a certain sense, there's a relevance, because when we're in battle and a war is going on, and we have enemies, and the enemy is having a certain, to the enemy, hatzlocha is the damage and the treachery that they do. So now we can discuss, and we maybe have discussed, or we should discuss, why or how we can put in perspective the things that happen to us. But what about the success of the enemy? Now, we hope and pray all day these days that the enemy will not be ultimately successful. But, from their perspective, they've made some successes. They captured a lot of captives. They wounded a lot of people. They murdered a lot of people. In a sense, this is also success for them, for their warped and evil ways and thinking. So that too has to be understood. Like, what's that about? Why are they able to have even that temporary success? So he goes on into a few things, but we're in the middle here. It's page 104, if you have this one, on the fourth line down. The Efsher, another reason he's giving, Shetiya Lahari Chabiri Yisal Eloi Ad Sheyoshuv Ve'yia Roy Lo Kimosh Yodate Me'inyan Menashe. It's possible that the Inyan is Lahari Chabiri Yisal, Kodesh Baruch Hu is being patient with him, he's Marich Af, he's withholding his anger, Ad Sheyoshuv Ve'yia Roy Lo, until he does tshuva and he becomes worthy of hatova, just like happened Menashe. Menashe was for so many years, 22 years, he was a rosha, and then at the end, Hashem was patient with him, and finally, he did tshuva. So he says, maybe that's the idea. So I would like to stop for a few minutes and just ponder a couple of ideas. Number one, which really is not relevant to this particular thing, why does the Chavis Halvavis have to talk about this? Why does he have to explain to us why the Rosha has it good in this world? We're talking about having bitochen. Have bitochen Hashem, chesed Hashem, Hashem's rachamim, and you rely on Hashem, and you have to do ishtadlus and don't do too much ishtadlus, all of these things that we learned about. But why? What do you have to get involved in that whole difficult parsha of madua derech rishoyim tzlecho? Why are the ways of rishoyim successful? And it seems to me, at the Pshat is because in order to be tochen in Hashem and be tochen in the chesed Hashem, which is what be tochen is, that we have to make some sense out of this world. Because if I see Rishoyim having it good also, so then what's the chesed? They do evil and they get good? So that's not inspiring me. That something's wrong. How could I count on Hashem these? It's first of all, some people say it looks random. Tzadikim suffer, Rishoyim have hatzlocha. It's random. I can't rely on Hashem, and I don't understand Hashem, and I'm confused. And I don't see pure chesed where you do good, Hashem gives you, or you trust Hashem. Yet these guys are not doing good, and they're not trusting Hashem, and yet they're succeeding. So it's confusing in the avoidus habitochen. And working for Bitochen is confusing, and therefore it seems that the Chavis Halvavos feels it necessary to explain. But look at the explanation that he just gave, and let's ponder for a moment whether it could be relevant to us. The Efshishetil Ahari Chaberi Yisal Eloi Ad Hashem is Marichav until these Roshoim will do tshuva just like Menashe. What do you think about the possibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is awaiting these Rishoyim, these Achzorim to do tshuva. Is that too much to swallow? Or is that really in consonance with what Hashem wants from us? So I'd like to suggest, forgive me for a moment. I'd like to suggest that, you know, these days, many people say daily or often Kapitel Pei Gimel. Pei Gimel is really the Rav Eliashiv in his lifetime suggested that the Matzav in Eretz Yisrael is always so precarious that we should, every day we should say Pei Gimel and Kuf Lamed and Kuf Nun Beis, Kuf Mem Beis. Excuse me, Kuf Mem Beis. But look at this. Here is Pei Gimel. Shir Mizmor Lo'osof. Elikim al domi lochatech rashotishko. Don't be silent, yeah? Kinei oyivecho yehemu yunosanechu nosu roish. Your enemies are raging. Alam choyari musod yisyozo al tzvunecho. They're taking aces against Omru lechu v'nach hidei migoy. They said, let us destroy them from being a nation. And the name of Klal Yisrael should never be mentioned again. That's exactly what is going on. That's exactly what our enemies are trying to do. And they're assisted by others. All the enemy Yishmaelim, Gam Ashur, even Syria, Nilvoy Mohem. Okay, Asela and Kuvinyon, and we ask Hashem to destroy them. They should be blown away. That's kikash lefnei ruach, like straw in front of a wind. She said, "Mukak kikash lefnei ruach." Keish kibar yoach levot lahok. Can tear the fame, cause them to flee and run away, and they should be all overwhelmed. Baleif neim kolin, fill their faces with embarrassment. Vivakshu shimcho Hashem. And they should search out your name, Hashem. What are we doing here? We're saying a tefillah for the enemies that are out to destroy us. This is mamish loy yizocher shem Yisrael oy. That's the ultimate. That's, I hate to say the words, but that's, you know, the final solution. That's what they wanted to do. They also want to make a final solution. You know, it never succeeded and it never will. But they wanted to make a final solution. So he says, why don't we say, they should be and we pray to Hashem, we beg Hashem, they should search out your name, Hashem. They should be embarrassed and destroyed. But look at the last line. The Yedu, they should come to know that you are alone in this world, the ruler, Elyon al kol ha'aretz, elevated above the whole world. Here we are beseeching Hashem that our enemies who are out to destroy our very existence should be destroyed. It's so prophetically relevant to our time. It's exactly, they gang up, they say they wanted to chase us out of Eretz Yisrael. They wanted, it says another pasuk here, what does he say? They said, we are going to inherit the beauty of Hashem, which is Eretz Yisrael. They want to inherit, they want to chase us out. They want Shelo Yizocher, there should be no remnant. They want to take over Eretz Yisrael. And we're begging Hashem to help us. It's mamish today what we're going through. And yet, in two different psukim, here we say, "V'yivakshu shimcho Hashem." They should search out. They should do tshuva. And again, the last post again is v'yedu, and they should come to know k'ato shimcho Hashem levadecho elyoin al kol oretz. You are Hashem, and we want our enemies to know. So it seems that even these enemies, such enemies, such ruthless, such cruel, such. Now I don't. We don't know the extent. But yizocher Hashem Yisrael oyd is pretty bad. That's like it can't get much worse than that, I guess. And these enemies, we ask Hashem, they should eventually turn to you. And this is something I think that we have to to be aware of that the hashkofas haTorah is how do we say v'lamashal seim v'chol harisho kerega tovei, evil should be destroyed, not necessarily the rishoyim v'chol yevecho meheri kareso. I think if those that are oyevim, but even from the oyevim, it seems we hope that they will eventually turn around. And it's like, it's something that I think should be an amazing level of chizuk for us. You know, I deal with a lot of people that carry guilt with their violations of Yiddishkeit. I just had a meeting today with someone like that. A lot of people come to me with that, you know, with guilty conscience they did there. One guy walked into to the appointment today and just blurted out the first thing, didn't say hello, the Averis that he did. Like, it was just like very heavily burdened with that. And sometimes we feel Hashem has no use for me. How could it be? I'm so dirty, I'm so filthy, I'm so bad, it can't be. And the answer really is, if you look at Hashem's attitude towards the enemies, those that say, "Lo yizocher Shem Yisrael od nir shalonu es no'is elokim," we want to throw us into the Mediterranean, and they want to take over Eretz Yisrael, and they want to be that "Lo yizocher Shem Yisrael od bichlal," never be mentioned again. And yet we're asking, "Vivakshu Shimcha Hashem," how much more so Hashem is there for us, no matter what we do. And I think it's a very important lesson. Children have to hear it today. Students have to hear it today. And we have to hear it today. No matter what a Jew does, Hashem is waiting for him to come back. He's standing there with a filu, has the Rabbi Meir Yonis Losh in the beginning of Shara Tshuva. No matter what happens, those soga dal ba'adom dal se'atshuva, the gates of tshuva remain open all the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is craving. He desires our tshuva. He craves our tshuva. He wants us, he begs us to do tshuva. And so we should, if to the goyim, to the enemies that are saying, "Lo yizocher Shem Yisrael oyv," and they want to be near Shalom Nois Elikim, if these people also, we say, we ask Hashem, they should also come back. That means we see the extent that David HaMelech understood, David HaMelech's tefillah. He understood how important it is that how much Hashem wants every human being, not only Klal Yisrael, every human being, they should eventually do tshuva, alachas kamo v'kamo. That should certainly strengthen us in terms of what we could do, and what we could do, and what we can do, no matter who we are. And that brings me to another point. I think at this point, and I may have mentioned this, but I talk so much these days, I really can't remember if I apologize to whom I said what. But I think that we should be thinking in a different terms also. What about the Klal Yisrael doing tshuva? We know that we just read it this week in the parsha, HaKoyel Kol Yaakov Adai V'dei Esav. The Goyin says the Koyel is written without above, the first one. And it's to be read, HaRemez HaKal. When the Kol Yaakov is light, when the voice emanating, the voices, the noise, the sounds emanating from the Bote Medrosh and Bote Knesios, then the Adayim the Esav can attack us. But when it's Kol, when it's strong, then there's nothing. Our history is that with our spiritual strength, when we are strong, we're invincible. When we are spiritually weak, we're vulnerable. And if that's the case, we should really start to think in terms of all the rest of the Klal Yisrael, all the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, those that are not religious, those that are not ma'aminim, those that are not keeping mitzvahs, and pray for them and beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashiveinu Hashem Elechum Nashuva, goes on them. Slach lonu avinu ki chotonu machal lonu valkeri ki mashonu, goes on them. We should be thinking about them, and we should be thinking that they should do tshuva, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu craves and awaits the tshuva, David HaMelech said that David HaMelech composed a capital well, it says Mizmor also, but anyways, in the Tillim is a capital that says that we're beseeching Hashem that those people should come to search out Hashem and to recognize Hashem, and that means them to do tshuva. Then we should certainly be thinking that way about all the Jews today in Eretz Yisrael and world over, because if Klal Yisrael would do tshuva, the Mashiach would come, and even before the Mashiach comes, we'd be invincible. No one would be able to touch us. So I think these are just some ideas that are relevant to the mass of today, and I might just add that we see it happening. So many people are being chayzer b'tshuva. So many people have committed to keep Shabbos as a schus for the shvuyim and for the psuim and for so forth. And we hear stories of miracles of people who were makabel shmir Shabbos, and then all of a sudden they were saved from whatever. So I think this is something that we have to keep in mind to really also keep that we want to help them and we want to be mispalel. And if Dovid HaMelech or the Machaber of the Tilim was concerned about the enemies of Klal Yisrael, then we certainly should be concerned about our own that are drifting. Okay, let's continue. V'yesh shetiyah lechesed shekodem oviv v'yoroi lehetiv livnoi bavuroi. Sometimes a person, a Rosha, is rewarded for the chesed that his father did, and it was appropriate that his son should be paid or should be done good because of this. And then he brings a few examples. Now, to stop on that for a moment also, Chazal say, I mean, the Pasuk is mashma, says, Vayikru oiso Yitzchok v'Yishmoel. Yishmoel did tshuva. Who knows? You know, Yishmoel was not such a poshut mensch, and he finally did tshuva. And so it could very well be that that's a schus. And that's a schus that his children are paid. His children are paid back. And the Mela, we're dealing with a situation where that the reason that whatever success they have, whatever they're allowed to benefit or to have good in according to their desires and their thinking could very well be in the merit of good that they have done, their ancestors have done. And imagine there were over the years, you know, there was a tkufa where a lot of the Muslims lived together with the Jews and they lived in peace and they even had, you know, a lot of positive interaction and there was negative. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ignore anything. The slightest noitzer chesed la'alofim, one chesed that a person could do, he pays back to 2,000 generations. We haven't even yet hit a few hundred, maybe a few hundred generations from Avraham Avinu. He's still paying us back for his chesed. So it's something also to keep in mind that maybe they have something, you know, they must have done something or some ancestor must have done something and they're getting paid for it. And that explains a little bit. But of course, we know that the theology here is much more complicated because they can't do anything to hurt us. It's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the right and feels that that's what's appropriate for us. On the other hand, The benefits that they have from it is also not just because they're the shluchim, but rather they must have something else to go for them. And they will be punished for it, because even though they're the shluchim, but they had no right to choose to be such shluchim. They should have, you know, if Hashem wanted to take care of us and to hurt us, would have done it in a different way. Didn't need them to do it. Okay, that's just a little bit. Now, I have a question, if you could help me, Rabbi Isai. Did I discuss here this story with this woman, Margalit, the woman who was making challah and her daughter was in Gaza? Does it sound familiar? No?
I heard the story, but I didn't hear you talk about it.
Right. I was just going to say the same thing. I heard the story, but I don't think it was for me.
Okay, so I must take the time now to share this with you. I've been talking about this for the last 2 weeks, and I can't I can't stop. I think it's something that we can all realize who Klal Yisrael is and what's really happening, and a little bit put it in perspective. There was a video going around of a woman. Her name was Margalit. I forgot her last name. And she wasn't previously a religious woman. She appears in the video as a Rebbetzin, covered from head to toe, literally. And she's being mafresh challah. And one hand she has the challah, one hand she has a card where she's saying the tefillah. And you can hear her asking, invoking the schus of her ancestors and begging Hashem that her daughter should be saved from torment and torture and death and everything in the, because she was a captive in Gaza. All of a sudden, seemingly just from the depths of her heart, she cries out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani ohevet otcha, Ani meta alecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love you, I'm dying for you. Very bizarre talk. Her daughter is in captivity. She has, they're by the worst of the worst. She has no idea if she's dead or alive. She has no idea if she's being tormented or tortured or anything at this very moment. Ani ohevet otcha, I love you, I'm dying for you. There was another video of a woman, I believe she was a Chavra Knesset. And she was interpreting, she was lauding this Margalit, and she was interpreting what she said. How could she say she loves Hashem? Her daughter is in such a matzav. Ani meta alecha, I'm dying for you. What kind of talk? So she said, she must have understood that everything Hashem does is for the good. Kol madav rachmon letavovin. Memela, that's why she loves Hashem. Because what's happening right now is good. This is a woman who a few moments ago for sure was not religious. Now maybe, I don't know, she might be today the greatest Rebbetzin. But she wasn't religious. And she was introduced to a mitzvah challah. But came from the depths of her neshama. Because every Jew has that in the depths of his or her neshama. The depths of realization of love of Hashem and of realizing that under the worst circumstances where Hashem is maybe torturing him or that love is there because it's all for my good. This is the truth. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. Rabbi Akiva, they took him out to kill him and they were raking his body with Masreka Shel Barzel. And he said, it was this man, Kriya Shema, he wanted to be Mekabel Malchus Shemayim again. So the Talmidim said, Rabbeinu Ad Kan. He says, Kol Yomai Hayisi Mitztayer Al Dov Hazeh. The Torah says, V'avtes Hashem Elokecho, Lov Hashem, B'chol Nafshecho, Afilu Hu Noitel Es Nafshecho, even if he takes your life. I was waiting my whole life for this moment when they're taking my life and I'm going to be Mekabel Malchus Shemayim and express my love of Hashem. Now that it comes to my hand, I'm not going to do it. Rabbi Akiva had this sense of whole life. He wanted to be able to express the depths of his love to Hashem, even as Hashem takes his life. I would like to suggest that what Margalit did was similar to that. Her daughter, not even her own life, her daughter's life, sometimes by parents, that's worse, is in danger. She doesn't know anything about her matzah. And she understands that I love Hashem and everything Hashem does is for the good. What this means to me is something else. Every single Jew has deep buried in his or her heart this deep love of Hashem, this deep awareness that Hashem is all good. It's there. If it can come out in a woman like that at the worst possible moment of her life, that's can only be that it was buried. Nobody educated her at that moment. It came from the depths of her neshama. And I think that that's really a lesson of who Klal Yisrael is. And interesting, the footnote, of course, is that the daughter got out. So they released her 2 days later or whatever it was. You know, Agav, it seems her uncle had also been involved a little bit. And when he heard what happened, he said he's going to start keeping Shabbos. And that also happened, who knows? But just the, I'm not talking about the release. I'm talking about the godless within this woman And I think that that's all. So anyway, I'm sorry. I get so carried away with the story. I forgot why I wanted to say it. Shlema Melech in Perek Hey in Perek Hey in Shir Hashirim. Shir Hashirim is a moshul of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love and Klal Yisrael, the relationship, the estranged relationship in the Golos. We threw us out of Eretz Yisrael, destroyed the Beis HaMikdosh. He's banging on the door. Pischile Achoisi Rayosi Rinosi Samosi. Please let me back into your life. And the Nimshal is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to come back into our lives. And she, Klal Yisrael, answers with total callousness. I've taken off my clothing. I've gone to sleep. I've washed my feet. I'm not going to dirty my feet to open the door for you. I will not let you in. All of a sudden, she sees his hand. And the intestines churn with love. She jumps up to open. She says, with a passion, with a full heart, and a passionate desire. A moment ago, she said, get out of here, disgusting. I don't want to deal with you. I'm not going to dirty my feet. And all of a sudden, she sees his hand, and everything turns around. You must say that it was deeply buried inside. When she said, Poshati Eskutonti, that love of Hashem was there. It was just covered over. What brought it out? So Rashi says, surprisingly enough, Doidi Sholach Yodim Nachor, Rashi a little bit later on there says, refers to Milchomo, refers to Shevi, captivity, refers to tragedy. It seems that Shlema HaMelech told us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to come back into our lives and we're so callously refusing, then all of a sudden a tragedy occurs and we jump up, B'lev Sholi U'B'Nefesh Chafetzo. How could it be? The Teres is, it was there all the time. The tragedy was a wake-up call. It woke us up. Now we're not sleeping anymore. And that's what you see is happening. People are mamish waking up. I speak to people that for years they haven't done anything and all of a sudden they're not shaykh because it's a wake-up call. And a wake-up call sometimes can be even more powerful than seeing miracles. You know, the Six-Day War, we saw miracles. And there was a tshuva movement after the Six-Day War. But miracles are limited. And I believe that this wake-up call to tshuva is going to have a greater and a more expanded and a more long-lived and extensive tshuva movement, mamish, ad bias goyel, even than the time of the Six-Day War. And allow me to explain. There was a retired army officer came to Los Angeles to speak. And he spoke about during the Yom Kippur War, he was one of 15 soldiers on the Suez Canal. The whole canal was protected by 15 soldiers. And all of a sudden, they see the Mitzrim, the Egyptians, marching through the canal, wading through the canal with their guns and their grenades or whatever they had, they saw it was all over. Hundreds of them and 15 of us. And they were ready to surrender. All of a sudden, the Egyptians put down their arms, lift up their hands, and they're surrendering. They couldn't imagine what happened. Finally, one of them there spoke Arabic. He asked one of the Egyptians, what are you talking about? Didn't you see the tanks and the infantry and the marching down from behind to protect you? We didn't have a chance. There was nothing there. Nothing there. There was nobody there. It was a mirage. It was an S. So my daughter goes over to this Baal Tshuva and says, is that what influenced you to become a Baal Tshuva? He says, absolutely not. She proceeds and says, what did influence you to become Baal Tshuva? Years later, I heard someone tell that story. And I realized it was me. That's what inspired me to become a Baal Tshuva. So I learned from here a very important lesson. Nisim Gluyim can come and go. And we could sleep through them. Tragedy wakes us up. And when we wake up, that's when the true insides come out. If we would pay attention to the Ashkocha Protis, that would avada, maybe it would do much more. But it's easy to ignore. After the war, there were those that said the Six-Day War, lo hayu nisim. No miracles. You know? And they were still saying, betuchim anu bekocho shel tzar. But if we know if we wake up, we see it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he runs the world. And even though we wake up to a very shrill and unpleasant sound of the alarm clock, but it wakes us up. And then the true kishkes, the true avas Hashem, the true recognition of the tuv Hashem, the true mesiras nefesh, the true desire to do what's right comes forth and changes our whole lives. Okay.